Well, hello out there in listener land. Adam Lepp with you once again for Mid-Morning Coffee Break, the Adam the Computer Guy radio extravaganza. Or if you're listening on demand, that's great because you can listen to this program and other thousands of programs we put on this station anytime you want by going to our website, curated, programmed, and maintained by yours truly at WGH1071.com and listen to your heart's content. Lots of good stuff for you. But if you're tuned in right now, you have got the live radio feed. How's that for technological fabulousness? Adam here again with my regular brother in broadcasting, microphone mate, our official political commentator and presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. We have lots of topics, and as usual, I'll probably forget to cover some of them, but certainly got a few. A couple birthdays would be the first one. So, Ron, how are you on this beginning of summer? Of course, it's always summer in Florida, but how are you on this late spring, almost early summer day?
Yeah, okay, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Oh, fairly fantastic for the most part. That's always it.
Yeah. Starting off with birthdays, there's two people 2 days apart who had their, of course, they're gone, but had their birthdays. Hubert Humphrey, my original favorite political leader, his birthday was May 27th. And today, May 29th, which is Memorial Day, is also the birthday of President Kennedy.
Yes, we've had several birthdays, but the most important one of all, we'll talk about that also. Let's get first to a gentleman, Ron, who's been rather controversial, but is certainly a man with an enormous legacy in our history and somebody everybody's heard about, not everybody is familiar with, but we kind of associate him with the president who also had a checkered past and a dog named Checkers. How about that for a coincidence? A foreign policy wizard, an environmentalist, which is not common since he was a Republican, but a very moderate Republican. And of course, that would be Richard, well, as Archie Bunker calls him, Richard E. Nixon. It's Richard M. or Milhouse Nixon. The only president who resigned, and he, again, kind of resigned as someone who hung his head in shame. But before that, he was considered one of our best presidents in recent history. Again, foreign policy wizard. And a lot of that was because he associated himself with probably the most famous Secretary of State, at least in our lifetimes, Mr. Henry Kissinger. We do want to wish a happy 100 to Henry. Henry Kissinger is still with us. Again, what do you think about Mr. Kissinger, Ron? Again, a controversial guy. Not everything about him is great, but a foreign policy genius, certainly. What would be your main assessment of this gentleman? I'm sure it comes up in your classes there at Florida that you still teach.
Yes.
What's the main assessment? Well, and what do your students say about Kissinger? What are their questions about the guy?
Well, he's very complicated because he did indeed bring about the Paris Peace Accords, the end of the Vietnam War. He was involved in the negotiations. He helped to promote détente, which Nixon, of course, promoted with the Soviet Union, and opened up, of course, very definitely the relations with China. He went to China before Nixon went there. And he was also involved in the shuttle diplomacy at the end of the 18-day Yom Kippur War between Egypt and Israel. Those are the good things. But on the other hand, he backed a military coup in Argentina, which led to brutality and death of tens of thousands of Argentines by death squads. Overthrew, and this really does bother me, the Chilean democracy in 1973, and they didn't get it back to 1990. And they're the most democratic country in the Western Hemisphere, except for Costa Rica, but they had that 18 years or 17 years that they were under a dictatorship. And also, he opposed Bangladesh becoming independent from Pakistan and alienated India, which is a democracy and was, certainly, and Pakistan was a dictatorship, and also the bombing of Cambodia, which went on even before we knew it. You know, we thought it was after May 1st, 1970, you know, but actually it was going on for 5 years, and I just read an article about it. It's just horrendous, the number of civilians killed in Cambodia. So he's seen as a war criminal by many. Other people see him as a statesman. He's also a very big egomaniac. You know, I now learned that he used the German accent. He didn't have to speak that way. His brother didn't, but he thought it made him sound better. So I wonder what he spoke at home with his wife and family. Did he speak in the German accent? I don't know, but I was stunned to read that. So he's a very complex person.
German accent was fake. Of course, we hear people on TV, Ron. They have fake British accents, Mr. Bentley on the Jeffersons. You may know the actor. He's deceased, but I believe he was from Maine. And Paul Benedict, he's not British, but you never know by the accent. And we've had British actors and actresses who have lost the accent. Yeah. Richard Dawson probably being one of the most famous as a big TV game show host and panelist, a talented actor, a favorite of mine, and remember, I was very, very sad when we lost him. Great talent who I think really revolutionized a lot of the game shows that I grew up with, and you probably also enjoyed watching, Ron.
Yes.
Some of the actors on Frasier, a favorite show of mine that I'm constantly watching and reruns. We have the real British person, Daphne, although I don't believe she's actually from the part of England that she says she is, but still sounds very English. And we have John Mahoney, the father, who was British, but you really wouldn't know it. So sometimes these accents, again, as actors and actresses, what you hear isn't exactly what they sound like in person. But Kissinger with the fake German accent. And that's
but how did he manage to do it so many years? He never slipped in public. I found that amazing, actually, in a way. Yeah. You have to really work hard
to keep
something that isn't normal. What?
He's now 100. Have you heard him speak recently, Ron? Does he still speak his name, I guess it would be Heinrich, which would be the German version of Henry. Does he still speak with the German accent, or what's the deal with his
speech? I heard him on CNN. He still sounds the same. And when I read that he doesn't speak, his brother didn't speak that way, I don't understand why he chose to do that. It's very deceitful. Why would he do that and keep it up for so many years, never slipping in public that we know of? I find that amazing. I also think it doesn't make him look good. It makes him look more like a bully.
Someone we've all had an opinion on, and again, interestingly, the president that he served under, Richard Nixon or Tricky Dicky, a lot of people, including myself, like to impersonate Nixon. He's not hard to impersonate. Just say I'm not a crook in the Nixon voice, which I've done on the air many times. And of course, presidents in general, people like to impersonate, but Nixon often comes up as he's a colorful character. And again, many great things about him. We both love how he started the EPA, as a Republican especially.
Yes.
You can't really think of Republicans nowadays as being environmentalists, but
Have to say,
Nixon,
as I've said before, Nixon is the most liberal, in quotes, not liberal, but most liberal Republican since Theodore Roosevelt. He really is.
Yeah,
they're not liberal, but he is.
I mean, Bush number
things.
One was pretty centrist, but not compared to Nixon. And I think he wanted to bring about world peace, while showing that America is the best country in the universe. And just unfortunately, he got his hands dirty, and whether or not he was the instigator of Watergate, it's kind of hard to say, but the people that he associated with, and that's what we look at, it's come up in the Biden administration, be it Hunter Biden or some other people in the administration, what do folks think about them? And you know, Ron, when you elect the president, you elect his family. And anybody that he associates with, and that's the Hunter Biden thing would be a great example. And family.
Yeah,
actually,
a lot of presidential families, brothers. I mean, Jimmy Carter's brother was controversial, and Nixon had a brother that was controversial, and LBJ did. It's not unusual, actually. Yeah. It's pretty common.
Of course, now
and
we have
Trump's kids. Look at Trump's kids.
Right, he was not a president, but his brother was a president, RFK, and RFK Jr., we've talked about another person. Yes. I think he may very well be our next president or be president in the future, but certainly he's someone who elicits opinions. But the families of presidents, Ron, are fascinating. You know how much I love Billy Carter. Just kind of famous because he was a regular guy, again, gas station owner, and a guy with a great sense of humor. He charged Republicans more for gas than he did Democrats. He drank a lot of beer, had a beer named after him, which notoriously was not a very good tasting beer. And on the last show, we talked about marketing flops from beer, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the day if we have time. But marketing is always a fun thing, and Jimmy Carter's family, can't say enough about them. I always liked Amy, liked his wife. She's still around. Of course, his mom, and best of all, good old Billy Carter, or the common guy. Someone, I think you would agree, Ron, if there was any presidential family member you'd like to sit down and have a beer with and tell some X-rated jokes, Billy Carter, he would be it. This would be a great guy to hang around with.
Yes.
So we talked about Henry Kissinger.
I wanted to mention with Carter.
Yeah,
I'm sure with Carter, he's still functioning, apparently, we have learned in the last week. I was so thrilled to hear that.
Yeah,
that
I mean, I'm not
Andrew
a fan
Young,
of his presidency,
his grandson,
but
you know.
As a man, as a post-president, got a great guy. I mean, so you talk about someone who wants everyone to get along, someone who has a huge heart.
A good Christian, in the true sense, good Christian, not just somebody who claims to be Christian. Yes.
I've known people in hospice care that have been there, are still there, and I just hope Jimmy Carter can make it to 100, 110. And
yeah.
You just don't know that. The guy's a fighter. He's not ready to leave this earth anytime soon. Yeah. We do wish Jimmy Carter well, and who knows?
I must say, in July, August, and October, we have anniversaries. July will be 77 years they're married. August, Rosalind will become 96. Not, you know, she's 95 now. And in October 1st, Carter will become 99. And I'm wishing, I'm assuming, that he's functioning enough they can have a photograph of him and his wife to show how they look. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I hope they do it for those anniversaries or one of them. I really think they should, you know. But
Adam here on WWGH with Dr. Ron Feinman talking about some birthdays and people that have gotten up in years and thankfully are still with us. We've been wished Jimmy Carter well. And Henry Kissinger, Ron, having turned 100, how did he look when this? I didn't see him on TV. How did he look? Does he seem healthy? Is he still sharp as ever? I mean, there's a very smart man. He may be controversial, but but he's a genius.
He looked good when I saw him. Yeah, he was slumped more in his chair, though. He slumped more. He doesn't sit up straight as much. I think he has some physical issues, but mentally he's fine. You know,
well, that's good.
And no guilt. What gets me about him is I also read that he made a statement because he's Jewish that if he wasn't Jewish, he'd be an anti-Semite. I couldn't believe he made a comment that years ago.
That's inappropriate. Strange. For someone whose job is to bring about world peace, that's not an appropriate comment, is it?
And also when he brings up about Chile or Cambodia, he gets up and storms. Maybe not. Now, he storms out. He won't even answer. He gets angry and furious and leaves. He doesn't want to be questioned on Chile or Cambodia. So there's a lot hanging there. There's a lot of guilt, I think. But he's so egomaniac, he doesn't care, you know.
We do wish a happy 100 to Henry. Let's have a hope for 100 more. And still feisty as ever, I guess that would be the thing.
Oh, my God, is he? Yes.
And that's good.
Yeah. One thing about Nixon, you mentioned about Nixon has people around him that may have caused a lot of his grief. It made me think after I heard about Kissinger and the negative things I heard, and then I thought, and I'm sure you're going to be surprised to hear this, I said, my God, think of it. He was one of three people around President Ford who, over time, don't look so good, and it makes you wonder about Ford a little bit. The other two are two young men at that time under Ford who was top people around him. They were not very well known, but they both became much more influential later under the first and second President Bush, talking about Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. Can you imagine having Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Kissinger around Ford? It makes me start to reflect, maybe Ford has more problems historically.
Yeah,
if you think about it. I don't know.
You've listed Ford, like Carter, as someone whose legacy has shown that he's a better president than people thought. And Ford, like Carter, had many difficulties. Ford was also not elected directly, but he didn't lose the election by very much. And you know, we love his wife, Betty Ford, and Billy Carter, certainly my two favorite presidential relatives. Not sure if you're as big on Billy Carter as I am, but we do both love Betty Ford, especially today. I've lost so many friends to drug issues and friends that have lost a lot of quality of life, and Betty Ford, her legacy has done so much for that. And you know, she can I would say not take herself too seriously. She was on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and she was from what I understand very drunk, and they had to do some fancy footwork to get that scene to come out right. And so she recognized her problem. She has the Betty Ford Clinic named after her that a lot of famous people have gone to. And not only that, she had one of the best hairstyles ever. Talk about the Aquanet, the Aquanet fluffy female hair of the 70s. So we do miss
and
Betty.
And she managed to live past 90. As well.
Yeah, and she's someone, she overcame her issues with addiction, and we wish anybody listening who's has that problem or has a dear friend or family member with that problem, as I have and have currently, get help and just think about someone like Betty Ford. It affects
let
everybody.
Me add in one other person that didn't become First Lady, but she had drug and alcohol problems, and she's still alive, Kitty Dukakis, Michael Dukakis' wife, the 1988 Democratic nominee for president. That, you know, he's 90, and his wife's close to that. She's still around, Kitty Dukakis.
And I believe Scott Spears had Mr. Dukakis on, but the interviewer to the stars has everybody on. And I've challenged him to have Chucky Baby or King Charles on, and I wouldn't put it past him to do that. So we shall
see.
I must say,
I met Michael Dukakis. He taught at Florida Atlantic University, and he came to one of my classes in the mid-1990s to talk about what it was like to run for president 5 years ago. So, it's really interesting. And Michael Dukakis, he said, call me Mike, and I said, call me Ron. It was fun, and I got to know him pretty well. And he came across better that way than when he was running. He seemed more stiff when he ran.
This has come up, Ron, and I think you would agree. I know you're not a big fan of Donald Trump, but I think if you were to meet Donald Trump, I think he'd be a good person to meet. And you'd respect him as a man. Again, you could just forget about what he did in office and what he's doing now, what he might do if he becomes president again. But I think he'd be a good person to meet. And I think... And I'll speak for myself, too. I think we would be surprised that he's more intelligent than we think he is. We know that he's street smart. But do you have any thoughts on that, Ron? Would you like to meet Donald Trump? I mean, do you think, as I do, that he would come across as more intelligent, more likable in person, or am I out in left field?
If you could separate him from what he says and does, as far as socially saying hello and having a little time to chat with him, probably fun. It would be fun. You know who would not be fun, though, to chat with, I think? I think you know who I'm thinking of.
Yes, I think someone else named Ron, who's well-educated.
He is not a pleasant person. He is not a communicative person. I don't think he'd be likable to meet in a personal way. Yeah, well, and his wife is very dominating. I've learned his wife would be almost like a Madame Chiang Kai-shek kind of person.
Yeah, we'll talk about...
or Lady Macbeth. You know.
A certain Italian governor from a southern state who shares your first name. That's certainly on the agenda today. I think that's enough of a hint.
Yeah, I can almost say he's the Florida Mussolini because he's Italian.
Yeah,
I think people are going to start saying that. Not Hitler, but Mussolini, I think.
I think we've dropped enough hints. We'll talk about him later in the show. I've written down some topics here. So,
yeah, okay.
Ron, you teach at Florida Atlantic University, I believe. Do they ask about Kissinger? Is he just too far in the past, or what comes up? I mean, you talk about every president in your lectures. So when you talk about Nixon and Kissinger, what's kind of the main, I'm not quite sure what word to say. Well, so we'll just think of a word, fill in the blanks. What is the main fill in the blank that comes up when you discuss that particular administration?
Well, mostly the positive stuff, because you got to realize talking about every president and the office, I don't spend a lot of time on any one president, maybe up to one class. So there really hasn't been comments or questions about Kissinger, but I do mention the positive things. Now I think I might have to add a couple of these negative things in and interpret things a little differently now. But we cover everybody right through Joe Biden, and it's a lot to cover. You know, it's a good course, but probably should be two terms, not one term.
Definitely talking about presidents, that's a PhD thesis, right, in and of itself.
Yes.
Dr. Ron Feinman here, author of a book about presidential assassinations, part-time professor in Florida, where he talks about what I call presidentology and politics. The blog that he writes, theprogressiveprofessor.com, I encourage you to read that daily, as I do. It sometimes takes a liberal slant. Sometimes it's just about history, and sometimes you're not quite sure what this gentleman, Ron, feels about a particular issue. So again, we talked about some birthdays, a lot of Geminis out there, and of course, birthday of this announcer is coming up. In fact, this show will be playing so many times, you might even be hearing it. So if I do...
This Thursday, yes.
Yeah, you might even be hearing it after the great event takes place. So anyway, it's not a milestone birthday, Ron, but next year is a big one. Yeah, probably one of the biggest birthdays, honestly, anybody would celebrate, because that particular number, I think even when you were, you know, young man, Ron, we thought of that number as being when you really are old, when you really are a senior citizen. And things have changed. You know, they say, well, you know, 50 is the new 40, 50 is the new 30. Yeah. So this age that I'm turning, which we're not gonna mention, but it's like, I'm not old. I still think I'm 25. In fact.
Yeah, well, I joke about the fact my oldest son is going to be 44 next month. And then I tell people, and I'm 49, and they laugh.
And you have a milestone birthday coming up. And like myself, Ron, you don't
A year and 4, a year and a half, I will be 80, believe it or not. But I don't look it, I don't act it, and the people I lecture to look a lot older than I do, and most of them, many of them are younger than me, but I'm thankful I look good and feel good and still have my mind.
And I even look at my dad, and after he retired, and he passed away just before he turned 80. I believe if you stay active, doesn't mean you have to go run marathons, stay active, do something.
Yeah.
Even if you're retired, you know, Ron, I mean, you're sort of semi-retired. I'm even semi-retired from some of the stuff I had been doing previously, but I still stay busy because I do like to work.
Yes,
I like the money. Yeah. That's a good thing about working, but I do like helping people.
Yeah, of course.
And I have the radio is a big hobby to me. So do encourage people, stay active. And if you have a milestone birthday coming up, and like Ron does and I do, both next year, can you believe that? Stay active, and laugh at yourself, laugh at the birthday. And if you happen to see somebody on TV or somebody you know who's about the same age, and you say, "Boy, I look like I could be that person's son," say it. I don't mind saying it. I like to shock people with my age.
Yeah,
I was 2 years.
Well, I always say,
I was 2 years ahead when I started college. So when I tell people like when I started college, which was actually in 1980, people might think, "Well, you don't look like you're in your early 60s." Well, better believe I don't, and I'm not in my early 60s, but that is when I started college, so do the math. Just amazing. Who was president?
Well, I say WWGH is part of my retirement. Keeps me active to be speaking and communicating.
It's just when I entered college, which was just right around the 1st of September in 1980, we had a presidential transition. A lot of things happening in the early to mid 80s when I was in college, and then in broadcasting in the mid to late 80s, and a lot of politics during multiple phases of our life. We'll say that much. So
it never ends. It's always there.
Hopefully this year before the big milestone birthday will be a good one, and I'll continue to contribute in the way that I do to WWGH Radio, and Ron and I will continue to have our fun discussions. We don't agree on a lot of things. We do agree on many things, but most important part is we can shake hands and say we respect each other, even if we think some of our opinions are crazy, and we can still laugh. And I think laughter is the most important thing. So now we'll get to a more controversial topic as we get to the halfway point of this radio program. And Adam here on WWGH with Dr. Ron Fineman talking about politics and other good stuffy-wuffy, as I call it. Ron, you hang your hat in Florida, although, as people can probably tell, you're an East Coast native. You still got that New York accent
going on
a little bit. Your governor, we have hinted around, a certain Italian gentleman who shares your first name, like yourself, very well-educated and very smart, Mr. Ronald DeSantis, even though he denied it earlier, but that's okay. Hillary denied running for president too, so I don't pay attention to what people say. He has now thrown his hat in the ring.
By the way, he does not like his name. He wants to be called D, I've read. Isn't that weird?
Is that like W?
He doesn't like his first name. That's what I read. He likes to have the letter D to be called D by people who know him. I think that's weird.
Maybe he doesn't like you. He doesn't want to use that. Maybe he's just jealous jealous of you, right? Doesn't want to be a Ron.
Yeah, I also wonder with his middle name, Dion, D-I-O-N, who is he named after? Is it named after the singer Dion and the group?
I'm thinking Dion Sanders, although it's spelled a little bit differently. I don't know. Didn't know he wanted to be called D.
I thought
he went by Ron. D. Okay, that like W, like George W. Bush, because he went by W. Well, whatever the gentleman goes by, the certain Italian governor, a Republican from your home state, although he hangs his hat in the far western part of Florida, in Tallahassee, where the capital is, a little more than 30 years younger than you are, imagine, of Italian descent.
Yes.
His wife's name is Casey, and this would, of course, be your governor, Ron DeSantis. He has thrown his hat in the ring, and looks like he and another D, which is interesting, D for Donald, they're pretty much at each other's throats. Ron, I've seen commercials for Donald Trump that are absolutely bashing DeSantis. That's saying DeSantis is not qualified to be president, but let's reelect President Donald J. Trump. So it's heating up, it's getting ugly, and it's not going to get any less ugly. It's going to continue to be the bloodbath that it is currently. Although I think they're going to just kiss and make up and find a way to incorporate each other in their cabinets, because I do think one of them is likely to win. But anyway, what's your opinion, Ron? I know you're not a fan of DeSantis. What is, besides what you've said already, what is your take on the early part of the DeSantis, or D, or whatever we call him, presidential run.
Well, as I wrote, I think he struck out because that day one on Twitter audio did not work out, and he did not appear before a rally of his supporters like Tim Scott did, or others have done, and he really doesn't like to talk to media unless they're people who favor him. And you can't, even Trump talks to all the media even if they attack him, and you can't have a president or a candidate who's not going to communicate with those who are his critics. And he's got a real problem about not liking anybody who disagrees with him. And I think he's going to bomb badly. I think he's going to be the Scott Walker or the Howard Dean or the Rudy Giuliani, all thought to be favored years ago, and they all flopped. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to fall apart before Iowa.
We'll agree. You know, Donald Trump, the Twitter president, although Obama also was high-tech in that regard, someone who does speak to everybody. We do give him credit for that. I mean, you pretty much gave him a compliment. And I agree. He will talk to anybody. Doesn't mean he won't run his mouth or use a word you don't say in front of a polite company. But at least he does talk to everybody. He'll shake hands. And I'm saying he would be someone who would sit down with the guy. He probably would be fascinating. But I think we'd find him more intelligent and more likable and approachable than we might think that he is. And of course, being a show business president with his TV programs and his pretty wife with the six languages, I think that is to be expected. But you're saying that DeSantis, he does have charisma, but he's just not likable. He's selfish.
Actually, he has no charisma.
Yeah.
I think he has no charisma. He's not a nice person. And he doesn't like to look at people in the eye. He doesn't like to shake hands. He's not going to be good at dealing with ordinary constituents as he travels. In fact, they showed him sort of like making a laugh about something. It looked so phony. He was so over-the-top laugh. I said, that's not real. He comes across as someone who's very insecure, and I think his wife is bossing him behind the scenes. I've read a lot about her. She's not a very nice person, and everybody's afraid of her. So she would be an unbelievable dominating first lady if she ever got there.
Yeah,
compared to Melania, no comparison in that regard.
Yeah, so we brought up who would be the winner in the next election. Joe Biden, certainly popular among some people, but take a look at the polls and doesn't appear to be looking too good.
All polls are bad at this time.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Every president goes through these ups and downs. I want to point out that actually someone that's being ignored, but I think is someone to watch, is Tim Scott, the African-American senator from South Carolina.
Yes, you wrote about him in your blog.
He comes across in a positive way. What? I'm sorry.
Wrote about him in your blog about 10 days ago. The only black Republican
senator.
Yeah, he
comes across as a positive figure.
Yeah, just the only black Republican senator. And we'd like to think that parties, Ron, are not related to race, but they are. I mean, there's no secret. Most black people are Democrats. And
yes.
Can that be changed? Is that a bad thing? I mean, should we really have these racial lines for parties? That really is kind of troubling to me. There's certainly a difference there, as our first female vice president is a rather liberal Democrat. Do we need to change that? Do we need to have a more diverse party? And that includes Democrats also.
We should, but the fact is that blacks used to be Republicans until the 1930s. And then they became Democrats, and nothing that the Republican Party is doing is appealing to African Americans, certainly not DeSantis, when he's trying to stop discussion of race in the educational curriculum. How can you avoid that? So I think he's really alienating blacks who would vote for him. I don't think they'd vote for Trump either. Now, I think Scott could get some backing. I have to say this. The scenario comes to me, let's say Trump is the nominee, and there's rumors he might pick Tim Scott as his running mate. Let's just say he did. And Biden runs with Harris. We would have an African-American mixed-race woman vice president against an African-American male vice presidential opponent. And no matter who would win, let's just imagine. The theory is, since Trump is an old guy and Biden's an old guy, whoever wins, the vice president might take over. So we may have an African-American president in the future, either Scott or Harris, in the next term, possibly. Isn't that an interesting scenario to think of that?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the health of both of them. Joe Biden seems healthy, but he is in his early 80s. Donald Trump kind of seems like...
he's 77.
Yeah, the relative we've all had, like my grandmother, who was a bit heavy and chain-smoked some rather strong cigarettes, but still lived to a rather ripe old age. He doesn't always follow a lifestyle. Donald Trump, overweight, seems to ride around at his golf cart a lot.
How old was your grandmother?
Yeah, eats a lot of Big Macs, but... You know, I'm sure he has high blood pressure and a few other things that are common in that demographic, but certainly appears to be healthy. We know mentally he's, you know, he's a bit, well, he's more than a bit out there, but Donald Trump will be the first person to admit that he's a bit crazy. I mean, that's part of his image. Yeah. I mean, he's...
Yeah, I want to ask you, how old was your grandmother? You said she lived to a ripe old age with the weight and smoking.
Yeah. She was about 80. She was born on 7/1/11, and she passed away early 90s. So about 80 or 81.
And this your father's mother or your mother's mother?
Mother's mother.
Okay.
And well, my mother passed away.
Bad habits.
She was only 53. She didn't smoke. Gosh. Was somewhat sedentary. And...
you never know. Some people can drink and smoke to 100. You never know.
Yeah.
That's true.
And
and others are runners, and they die like Jimmy Fix, I think his name is, died of something.
Yeah, James 50s, E. Fix, and... He also was an author who wrote about running, and he did a lot of running when running was big in the 70s, and he was a Mensa member. He wrote Mensa-type books. Yes, that was very troubling, because that was someone I really looked up to.
He died so young, and he was such a fit person. You know?
My aunt Sue, my mother's sister, she's still alive, and she's late 70s, I believe, a little younger than my mom would have been.
Hmm.
So, just, you know, stay healthy, folks. Get the medical tests, and... Get out of bed, take a bike ride, go to the gym, take a walk, the kind of stuff that I do. And it's okay to have a Big Mac once in a while. Just try to eat healthy and mix things up and stay active. And most importantly, laugh. Laughter is truly the best medicine. I can't stress that enough. If you don't laugh, life doesn't become anywhere near as fun as it could be. Let's put it that way. So... Yeah, Tim Scott, I think, a moderate Republican. I like seeing a Republican who's not what I would say OWG, old white guy, but DeSantis is almost young enough to be my son, so I wouldn't call him an older white guy, but a white conservative male. So Tim Scott, a moderate black male, obviously an intelligent person. I would have no issue with him, but I kind of wonder, is he a bit too far to the center to be someone that would be well liked among all Republicans of all Democrats.
But could he appeal to Democrats and independents? I think he could.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. That's the way it used to be. Like with Nixon, we're again environmentalist. Economically, if not a bit to the left, the tax brackets were quite different than they are now when Nixon was president. So let's see if we can maybe go back to that. I believe we need to have moderation in our political stances. So
yeah, may I interject here about Trump? And I saw an article that said he's considering four women to be his running mate. Forget about Tim Scott for the moment. And I wrote about it. And only one of them is someone I can say, oh, okay, we can live with it. And that's, of course, the South Carolina governor, UN ambassador Nikki Haley. I could see her as his running mate. But the others on the list, supposedly, are Marjorie Taylor Greene, my God, Carrie Lake, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Those are horrifying.
Do agree with some of the things she says, but she's too far out there, and I can't say I would be too pleased with her. Now, Nikki Haley,
she's an enigma. One?
Yeah, used to really like her. Didn't always like her beliefs, but liked her. We respect her intelligence, and she's very easy on the eyes. She's multicultural, but
she's qualified.
Yeah.
But which person are you saying you would not accept? Green?
MTG.
Yeah.
She's known as MTG.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just too out there on some things, although there are many things I agree with her, but I don't think she really is presidential material. With Haley, as often happens, Ron, and I mentioned, like with Bush and Reagan, they're at each other's throats during the debates in the primary, but then they kiss and make up, and you see what happened. Bush became Reagan's vice president, and kind of his protege also, I think. I think Haley and Trump will kiss and make up. In fact, they probably already have. And I did initially think DeSantis would be our next president, but I do agree there are issues with his charisma, and he's also just too conservative. I mean, there are many things about him that I like. The way he handled what I call the scamdemic, I think was excellent. I like his intelligence. I like that he's younger, but there are things about him that are a bit troubling. And
yeah, I think Barry Goldwater, Mr. Conservative 60 years ago, would not support him, because he was a libertarian, and I don't think he would like the autocratic nature of Ron DeSantis. Of course, you don't know. I'm just guessing, you know.
And so we go back to the previous president, dislike the other overweight gentleman who had two non-consecutive terms, Grover Cleveland. Will that happen to Donald Trump? Yes. And I'm starting to think it probably will, because I do not think that Biden is reelectable in his early 80s. And will Donald Trump become president again? I wouldn't bet $100,000 on it, but I think there's a pretty good chance at this point. And I do think that Haley would be, and I'd mentioned this before, would be his nominee. Donald Trump and Mike Pence, Ron, I like having a president from, or vice president from a nearby state, Mike Pence being from Indiana. I'm not quite sure what he's doing because he's not governor anymore. So, and he's just in his 60s.
Well, he's running for president. Yeah. He's just as an announcer. Yeah.
We haven't heard much about him, though, and how successful will his presidential campaign be. But there's no chance he would be the vice presidential nominee for Trump once again, as they pretty much have had a divorce, and a rather messy divorce, to put it mildly. I think we would agree that nominating a female, especially a multicultural or non-white female, would be a wise decision. Nikki Haley, younger, seems very healthy. Again, easy on the eyes, very well spoken.
She's going to have a CNN interview this Sunday coming up, just like Trump did. She's going to have an eye where she's going to be discussed and talked about and questioned next Sunday. So something to watch.
Yeah, but I think Nikki Haley and Donald Trump would be a likable combination. Do you agree with me, Ron? Mike Pence does have his assets. I mean, good age. I like that he's from Indiana.
He hasn't aged well, though. He's very white-haired. He looks very old.
He always seemed to look a bit older. I don't think he has much of a chance, though.
He's 61, I think.
As the Republican nominee, but it would be.
Yeah, I want to bring up the idea. There's a no labels movement. Have you heard about that? Having a third party candidate, no labels movement.
I don't believe in political parties. I don't look at the party. I look at the person. But I think.
Well, the people that are being discussed as possible no labels nominees, believe it or not, are Democrats, which would probably weaken the Democratic Party. Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema, or possibly Republican Larry Hogan, the former governor of Maryland, has been rumored they might run as a third party. I'm not sure how that would affect the election, but it wouldn't be good, I don't think.
And we mentioned RFK Jr., a Democrat, but someone who doesn't align with a lot of the Democrats. Who knows what may occur with him. But I do see as having a chance, because I agree that a lot of the Democrats are not pleased with the current very liberal direction, regardless of what you might read. Democratic Party has really gone too liberal. And I mean, there are things, Ron, that you don't agree with that the Democratic Party has taken a stance on. I know you don't like RFK Jr., but I do think we need
someone. I don't think RFK would approve of his son running. And by the way, did you see the other day he was sitting at his desk, Biden, and to his right on the table, to his, I guess his left, but on the picture at his right, is an RFK bust. He has an RFK bust right near him all the time, at any time when he's sitting at his desk. And yet RFK's son is now running against him, which is really ironic.
Yeah, politics makes strange bedfellows and makes strange adversaries, doesn't it?
Yes.
So in terms of the Republican nomination, Ron, does your crystal ball have anything to say? Do you agree with me that Donald, especially what the polls are saying, is he the front runner, or is it way too early? Well, let's just fast forward to November of 2024. Goodness sakes, my milestone birthday would have passed. But what does your crystal ball say?
And I'll be 1 month away from 80.
Yeah. What do you think will be the field in November of 2024? Would it be Trump against Biden, basically a replay of the last election, or something totally different? Could it be something like Hogan against Hogan, or even Haley against RFK Jr., or against Harris? What kind of possibilities do you see there?
Well, we can't control about people's lifespans. Somebody could die, of course, so we don't know. I have a feeling Trump is not going to be on the ballot because I think he will have been indicted and be brought to trial, and it's not going to be possible for him to be the nominee at the end, even though he's leading right now. I think someone to watch, a dark horse, is either Tim Scott, or if he announces, which apparently looks like he is, New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, who's 48 years old.
Yeah, I like Sununu. He's definitely a moderate, and he speaks well. I have no issues with the guy.
No, I think he's very decent, and so is Scott. But one thing I want to point out, New Hampshire, if Sununu runs, will that affect who wins the New Hampshire primary? Will he be able to stop Trump DeSantis and others in New Hampshire. And in South Carolina, which is very crucial, we have both Scott and Nikki Haley, but Trump's favored and backed by Lindsey Graham and the governor, Henry McMaster. What's going to happen in South Carolina with all three on the ballots in the primary? It's going to be very interesting, both New Hampshire because it's a new and South Carolina because of Haley and Scott.
Yeah, I mentioned Larry Hogan. You mentioned you and your son both like him. Yeah, very, very moderate Republican from...
But if he runs in a third party, he's going to be damaging. I hope he doesn't. I wish he could be the Republican nominee, but... He's not running.
Yeah, I like the guy too, but you can't always get what you want, as the Rolling Stones said. So, not quite sure, but what we do know, Ron, is there will be a lot of news, a lot of mudslinging, and lots of great conversation between you and me, and probably between you and Scott Spears when you're on with him from time to time. Lots of great blogs and lots of great news, and just when you think you figured it out, there will likely be a surprise or two. My mama said, speaking of which... Time flies when you're having fun. We got about 4 minutes left. Ron, again, the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. We encourage you to read it daily, delineate it, highlight it, share it with your friends. And if you don't like what he has to say, throw an egg at your phone. I'm sure he has seen worse. You wrote...
Yeah, and also historynewsnetwork.org, I'm on, under my name.
Recently wrote, National Popular Vote Interstate Compact gains Minnesota support, now at 205 electoral votes. We both agree this is probably not going to happen, but you are postulating regarding not using the Electoral College, just having the presidential victory based upon which human being gets the most votes. As we know, many recent elections, the person getting the most popular votes, like Hillary, for example, did not win the election because that's not how we decide the presidency. I don't think here in Ohio that will ever be approved, and probably wouldn't be approved in your neck of the woods in Florida either. Is there a chance for this, or is it just, again, something that you're doing a what-if, but really, logically, would never occur?
Well, as I said, there were six states that the state legislature, one house, did pass the bill. Arizona, Arkansas, Michigan, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Virginia. That's just one house. If they were to get the other house to pass the bill and the governor signs it, and that's a lot of bips, then they would actually have more than 270 electoral votes. They'd have 273, which is interesting. And Nevada could also join the list because it looks like it's close to doing so. So it could be 279, but that's just, I don't see it happening in Arkansas, Oklahoma, or you know, at least those two states, and probably not in Arizona. It's all theoretical, so unlikely it would happen. Right. Yes.
But theoretical is fun. We could do a lot of what-ifs, just like with the election. You know, do a what-if. What if Nikki Haley is president? Mike Pence becomes vice president once again? That wouldn't be a bad combination. Honestly, I think Mike Pence, compared to a lot of the Republicans, is pretty moderate. Nikki Haley, again...
I just don't like his Christianity always being talked about. Too much.
I'm not saying I'm a big fan. There are things about him that I like and things about him that I don't like. And I think you can learn to like Nikki Haley again, Ron, because she would moderate as president. We both know that. But who knows?
Well, we'll see you next Sunday on CNN. That's the time to watch.
There's always a surprise in the bag. And that's the fun thing about politics. Just when you think you figured it out, a curve is being thrown. But that's...
I wanted to finish up with a comment which I wrote about and I talked to students about, that if you look at the beginning of the third year of the presidential term and you say, so in less than 2 years the election comes up, and you say, who's going to be the next president, who's going to win? Never has the one who's been so-called ahead at the beginning of year three of a term ever ended up in the White House. Never in the last 100 years. Right. So we have no idea what's going to happen. We really don't. It could be somebody we're not thinking of.
Yeah, there can be a surprise, and that's all part of the fun. Adam here, thanking you folks for joining us. Dr. Ron Feynman, it always goes by fast. We always have fun. We always laugh a little bit, and we appreciate our differences. Yes. And who knows, just when you think you figured stuff out, things change. But that's part of the fun of politics. We thank folks for listening. Again, next time you hear me talk to
Thanks
Ron,
so much will, for inviting me. Yeah.
I will probably sound a bit older because I'll be older, but that's okay. I'll still be Adam. My sense of humor only gets sharper with age. Any questions, comments, concerns, etc., email me, adam@wwgh1071.com. And most importantly, be sure to read Ron's blog regularly. That's a hard word to say. The Progressive Professor. www.thepariscompromise.com.